Belinda presents this unabridged recording of Turncoat, written by Anthony J. Quinn and read by Adam Best. Irish Border, 1994. When the car carrying him and his police colleagues turned into the lane shortly after 10 o'clock, the driver killed the headlights and let the vehicle roll along the track. Moments later, the bulk of the derelict farmhouse and its outbuildings swung into view, a collection of grey fragments tucked away amid the gloom of blackthorn and elder thickets. There was just enough moonlight for him to make out the smooth shapes of two white horses, their heads bowed together, standing eerily calm amid the thorns, as though they belonged to a dream or a different dimension. He told the other detectives to remain in the car and stepped outside. He stared at the horses, which were hardly trembling at all in his presence, and then at the windows of the house, the broken panes covering sheets of blackness, the front door hanging slightly ajar, everything about the place receding into shadow or floating against the dishevelled pattern of silhouettes. He felt a flicker of fear in his stomach. He glanced back at the car and saw the face of Special Branch Detective Ian Robinson watching him closely, his eyes gleaming with anticipation. The insolent pleasure in the detective's gaze made his skin prickle, but it also had the effect of galvanizing him. For the past month, he had grown used to Robinson being his tail, asking probing questions about his investigations, following him wherever he went with his set stare, lingering where he stayed. He dreaded to think what his mistakes and failures might look like through the eyes of this cold and attentive shadow, a detective who had advanced his career by patiently watching and waiting for Catholic officers like him to step over invisible lines of loyalty and political allegiance. He shifted his weight from the gravel-strewn yard and stepped onto a patch of grass. He moved as quietly as he could, but his sneaking advance disturbed the two horses which, in the low light, were the double of each other. They bolted with a minimum of effort, leaping a broken-down fence and galloping away in a long, flowing movement. His chest tightened, and for a moment, like a coward, he wanted to abandon his duties and flee the farmhouse. His eyes followed the pale shadows of the horses dipping and rising across the moonlit fields. Their synchronized flight and the way they hurried soundlessly into the night added to the air of unreality around the farm. He surveyed the scene and his chest tightened again. It was the lack of human life, the broken silhouettes, the complicating shadows confronting him, which belonged more to the world of informers and betrayal than that of justice and order, and the sense of guilt he felt lurking in his heart, this strange feeling that he was slinking behind his own back, a sure sign that bad things were at hand. Was avoiding this feeling not a form of cowardice in itself? He still had time to call off the operation. All he had to do was walk back to the car, order the driver to return to the city, and then, later, tidy up and file away the details of tonight's journey as a wild goose chase into border country. It would be fitting if his career, which had been a sad trajectory through the purgatories of his accursed country, ended at this farmhouse hunched amid thorn trees. Tomorrow, he would speak to his commanders. Tell them he wished to give up the game of hide-and-seek with spies and suspects, the endless hours chasing down leads and examining bodies in derelict farms and border ditches. One corpse was like another. The much too long investigations blurring into each other, along with the dreamless nights and the morning spent shakily riding the latest hangover.